Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen, and we are so pumped to kick off officially season two today. What's up, Kristen?
Official is what we're kicking off, right? Last episode was kind of official. Hey, how's it going?
Hi. Good.
I know usually this is when we catch up on what's going on, but I feel like last episode had so much excitement and fun things that was happening because, you know, I got to tell my engagement story and we got to celebrate over that this week is just kind of really, it's getting back into a routine and getting back into the swing of things. So yeah. It's kind of been low key a little bit. We drove back. Let's see, we put out the episode and then that Wednesday of that week, Matthew and I drove back to Cincinnati and it was a long trip, but it was good. And then the next night I got bamboozled into a surprise engagement get together by a few of my friends. One of my friends made me believe that it was just three of us that were getting together to catch up, that we try to get together like a few times a year to catch up on what's going on in life. And I was completely prepared for that. And then as we walked into where we were going, my friend Rebecca turns around and says, "Don't hate me." And I was like, "What have you done?"
I love that. That's how she started that.
And so she's like, "It's just a few people. It's not many." But she had just reached out to just some dear people in my life to get together and celebrate and just kind of talk and catch up. And they got to hear the engagement story in person and see the ring in person and all of that. So it was very sweet. She even got one of my friends from Starbucks / work that she connected with, Lindsay, and got her to be there. So it was fun to have just different parts of my life connected through that.
You had a whole week of surprises, didn't you?
A whole week of surprises. I'm ready for no more surprises. That would be really great.
You don't worry. You're not getting any from me.
Good.
Have I said you that are, before?
You have hit your surprise limit.
Man.
But other than that, it's just been, you know, getting back into the swing of things, of getting back into a routine and all of that fun stuff, cleaning and laundry and all the things that kind of got pushed to the side for the holidays. And I still have my Christmas decorations up. I said that's tomorrow. That is my goal, is to get my Christmas decorations down, at least like the decorations off the tree. I might leave the tree up until Matthew can come over here and help me take it down and put it in the garage, because I've done it before as a one woman show and it is very difficult. So if I don't have to do that, I'm not going to. I'm going to make him come over and help me. It's the benefits of it, right?
That's right.
How are you?
I'm good. It's been the same here. I mean, we are just kicking back off life, I guess. You know, we've had, I guess, like the last four weekends, we just had people in our home, which we love, and we still have another weekend or two to go with people coming over. So we do still have our Christmas decorations up as well. We haven't got around to taking them down outside yet. And so we just unplugged them today. So at least it's not on.
Your HOA just starts sending you letters.
Yeah. At least it's not on. We'll get to it. But yeah, I guess a lot of my writing and stuff is kicking back up. So there's lots of meetings that I've had, and I got sick. I thought I was going to pass it, but I did not. It caught me. Mm-hmm. And I slept for like 18 hours yesterday. It was amazing. I know I told you before when we were talking, but I was like, yeah, my husband was like, "Shanna, you were like a troll. Like, you only woke up to eat." I woke up and I had lunch and I went back to sleep. And then I woke up and I had dinner and I went back to sleep. And then I slept all night long.
Then you slept all night long. That's impressive.
So I feel today has been very productive.
Yeah. Well, and I knew that we had earlier this week, we had said, hey, we're going to try to record Thursday night. And then you got sick and I was like, hey, let me know. You're like, yeah, we're going to have to play this one by ear. And then you texted this morning and you were like, I'm good. Let's do this.
So I had no voice yesterday, like at all. And when I woke up this morning, I was like, oh my goodness, like I'm a little congested.
Yeah.
But I feel 100 times better than yesterday. And John Eric told me, he was like, Emma prayed for you last night.
Aww.
And I was like, oh my goodness. And so this, I woke up this morning, Emma's like, mommy, how do you feel? And I was like, 100 times better than yesterday. And she's like, I knew it. I prayed for you.
I
need that faith.
Yeah, you know, right. So like I prayed for it. And so I knew it was going to.
Yes.
So. Oh man. So we are, we have a few announcements or just kind of segments before we jump into the meat of the show.
Can I say something first? Yes. Though? Off the cuff.
I was going to say, this is a surprise.
If anyone follows our social media, they will see that I posted that it's like a review for 2022. I almost said 2021. Nope.
No.
2022. And it was just so encouraging that we have not even been a podcast for a year yet. And Grow in Grace, which means the gospel, has reached 21 countries.
Yeah, we were looking at that.
I'm blown away by that.
Yeah, we were beforehand, we were kind of looking at it. And it was funny at the beginning. I think we both were kind of, or I was looking a lot at like the stats and like, ooh, who's downloading, who's listening, you know, all of that stuff. And just with the holidays and everything, I just hadn't been keeping a close eye on things.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that we always loved to go in and look was to see just the different countries. And I recognize like people use VPNs, and so it puts their, where they're downloading things at from in different places. But there are some that kind of rise to the top that are consistently, we're getting downloads from there. So, of course, the US tops it out. But then in second, we have people in Australia. Like, and we both said, who do we know in Australia? So, if you're listening to this and you're in Australia, reach out to us. We want to know who you are.
Yes, please.
The UK. But then we have like a few downloads in China and then Mexico and Kenya and Indonesia, Malaysia. Like, it's so cool that people, even if they only listen once and they're like, what the heck is this?
they're crazy.
Least, right. Exactly. They're like, we don't want to listen to this again. That's fine. But it was just really cool to be able to kind of see how God is using this and hopefully reaching other people outside of just the US. And we never would have expected it.
We said from the beginning, if only our moms listened. Like,
hi, mom.
We have these conversations anyway.
Yeah.
And so to see just how the Lord just takes it and like multiplies it, which is what he's so good at, you know, I don't know. It was so super encouraging because like there's nothing you and I do.
No.
Like at all.
We just get like, together and
praise the Lord. I just like, it's the gospel that's going out into all these other countries, which is like makes my missions heart so happy because I'm not going out to these other countries, but like I have a small part in the gospel going out in these other countries. And all that to say, we have really big dreams and goals for 2023, which is going to be super fun while you're planning a wedding and getting married, but we're going to make this happen. And so, yeah, all that segues into what you were going to.
Yeah. Well, and it was funny what you were saying is that we have big plans and dreams and we haven't even had a chance to sit down and talk about them because I was just, I was driving one day and it kind of all hit me. I was like, oh, this would be a really good idea of like being able, what we want to take kind of the podcast and just grow in grace as a whole into. And so I think I pulled up Marco Polo and I was like, totally random, like out of this, like out of the blue, but this just kind of hit me. What do you think about this? And I was like, I really think we need to sit down and kind of had hammer out some goals because so that we're working towards something. Even if they don't come to fruition, then at least we kind of know where we're headed and what we want to do with this and what we would like to see God do, and have some plans. So, yeah, we have some really big and exciting ideas in each of our individual heads, and we'll see how it is when we come together and talk about them, because we still haven't had a chance to do that. But one of the things that we wanted to talk about and remind you all, we've mentioned it a couple different times, is our merch at our Grow in Grace website is where you can find that at growingracepodcast.com. And there's a whole section there that is the our store, and that'll take you into our store and be able to get merch if you want to. Otherwise, that website is one of the things that we're going to be not revolutionizing, because it is great and hasn't been amazing. Yeah, it's amazing. But we want to expand it and do other things. So we talked about, you know, adding some type of like a blog aspect, because both Shanna and I do have things to say that sometimes isn't going to be not worth an episode, but we might not have enough time to put it into an episode or enough material to be able to expand it into an episode. I know there are some things that I have written over the years, especially with revolving around singleness and different things like that, that I think I always said, I was like, I don't want to commit to a blog, but I have these things that I have to have these thoughts written down. Mm-hmm. And so I would write them down. And so we might put some of those things up. And
we have some really wise friends.
Yes.
Who we would love to contribute.
Yeah.
That would be able to contribute. Articles and things like that. So
things that are on their hearts. Yep. And so that's something that we hope to be able to do. We have, like I said, our merch on our Grow in Grace website. We're just going to be trying to utilize that a lot more. And so
it's easier to just direct people to one thing.
Yes.
And so bookmark that.
Bookmark that. Which also then segues into something that, if I'm going to be honest, was kind of a spur of the moment thing. I don't know if we talked about the reading through the Bible with us type thing. I don't know if the last time we talked about how spur of the moment it was, but it kind of wasn't like, really planned.
I was going to do it by myself.
Yeah, exactly.
You had a great idea. I'm like, hey, let's do it in community. Like, yeah. Okay. And I'm pretty sure that was right before we recorded.
Yes, literally. It was like we recorded on a Monday evening. Yeah. And I was like, Monday afternoon, I was like, what do you think about this?
You did. I was like, I mean.
And you were like, okay. And so we're reading through the Bible using the Bible recap. I wanted to say the Bible Project. That's what I keep wanting to say, incredible. Is the Bible Project. It's something different. But the Bible recap, we're using the plan, and which you can get and download for free through the YouVersion Bible app, and join our group that we have started there. We have 19 people in there. We have guys and girls. Like, it's so cool to be able to see people checking off and reading and being able to encourage each other in that. It's been really, really cool. And there's even a part there where you can talk about it, I think is what it's called. And you can kind of mention something that struck you or mention something that God used to change your heart about something or just minister to you. So we're really excited about that and being able to do that. But we also wanted to, on our episodes, be able to talk about over the last couple of weeks, like what is something that stood out to you or just something specific that stood out to you. So I'll throw that to you, Shanna, and let you kick that part off.
You're so kind.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. So in our Bible reading plan right now, I think for the first couple of days we were in Genesis, right? And because we're doing this chronologically, it does have us kind of skip around. And so we have been in Job for the majority of the last week and a half, I guess. And so, yeah, that's where we're at right now is in Job. And if you are doing it with us and you're behind, I mean, like, there is grace for that. That's totally fine.
Just jump on in.
This is where we are at right now. And I was really struck by a lot of things. I got a journaling Bible this year. Maybe I said this, I don't know. Specifically with the hope that I can journal out what the Lord is teaching me and I'll keep it and then pass it to my kids one day. And, a lot of things in Job has just really stuck. I mean, I've read Job a million times, you know, and a couple of the things was really just so far it's been, we see how Job maintains his innocence, and really pours himself in a very honest and vulnerable way to the Lord. But what struck me the most this time around isn't how I want to be like Job. It is, I don't want to be like his friends,
mm-hmm.
you know? A couple of the notes that I wrote down is like, you know, God calls us to mourn with those that mourn, not necessarily to advise those that mourn. And sometimes it's just better to sit in silence. Like, mm-hmm. Job's friends did a great job sitting in silence with him and just having that ministry of presence. And, you know, much of what Job's friends said about God was true. There's not a lot that they said about God that was not true. Mm-hmm. It was when they opened their mouth and talked about Job, mm-hmm. where things went wrong, you know? And I think, you know, they're just a really good reminder to not to claim to understand what God's purposes and plans are based on what you see on earth. Because that kind of thinking is like, well, if I do this, then God does this. Or if I don't do this, then God doesn't do this. You know, if I don't, like, they thought all of this was a result of sin. And that's kind of manipulative too, mm-hmm. you know? And so, I don't know, that's just kind of, that stuck out to me is like, I always look at it through the perspective of like, I'm going to go through hardships like Job and I'm going to do this. And this time around, man, I was like, I don't want to be like his friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what kind of friend is that? You know? So that really stuck out to me. And then a lot of times I also, one thing I noted, I don't know if this was today or yesterday, kind of all blends together after a while,
yeah.
especially when you're sick. But I wrote down here that, Job's troubles, at, you know, at one point it says, like in, I guess, Job 30, he says, he's talking to, you know, about God. He's like, you have turned cruel to me. With mm-hmm. the might of your hand, you persecute me. And it was like, you know, Job's troubles make him question the character of God eventually, right? Even though Job is righteous, he still has pride and entitlement in his heart. And God used this trial to reveal other things in Job's heart. And I just thought of so many times I know that you may be accused of something and like, that's not even it. That did not happen. Or, you know, that's not whatever. And then God uses that situation to reveal other yuckiness mm-hmm. in our hearts, you know? And so that's what, that's kind of stuck out to me. And then like, I always like to point it back to God's character. I really just see him as like sovereign over this whole thing. Like in his sovereign, he allowed this to happen, but in his mercy, he like said, you can't take his life, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's merciful. And then like just God's wisdom in this, like, I just think you see God's character all throughout the passages yeah. of Job. And so, yeah. What about sure. you?
So it's going to be painfully obvious who is the writer and the articulator in this friendship, because it is not me.
Lies.
Because I'm the comic relief, guys. but one of the things, and I, maybe it's because I'm reading it through in the Christian Standard Bible this time, which typically I would have read it through in KJV or even
I'm
ESV.
Actually a huge fan of people doing that. Like next year, I'll probably read from a different version.
Yeah.
Like I love that.
So one of the things that struck me is in Job 16, when Job is replying to one of his friends, he literally says, then Job answered, I've heard many things like these. You are all miserable comforters. It just makes me laugh.
Every time we laugh at that.
I know.
He's you like, you all miserable are comforters.
Miserable comforters. Like you all are the worst. Why? but in that vein, like kind of like you were saying how this time around it's been very evident or in just pointed out to me his friends and how not to come alongside of someone who is suffering. And because I never want it to be said of me that I'm a miserable comforter, you know, that I'm not able to extend the hope that is in God, like that we find in God. And mm-hmm. so that's kind of something that really stuck out to me this time. I was like, that's really funny, but also that's really sobering because especially, you know, I think I've said it before on the podcast is that we're all counselors of some point some point we are always finding ourselves giving some type of counsel or advice and or listening or coming alongside of people who are suffering, and how we interact with them is very important. And it challenges me to make sure that the words that I'm speaking to people who are hurting or that are suffering mm-hmm. are words of hope and encouragement, and not pointing it back to them of like, maybe it's something you did. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that is at the beginning is just, like you said, maybe being mourning with those who mourn and being in silence with them and just being present. But then when it is that time to be able to speak, that I'm speaking truth and then I'm pointing them back to mm-hmm. the hope of Christ.
Yeah, that's so good. Because I think sometimes like I'm a fixer. Like, mm-hmm. how can I fix this? And sometimes that's not helpful right then. And it's just having wisdom and discernment.
Right. And it probably will Spirit. Eventually, maybe.
Sure.
You know, eventually it might be the time to be able to
like, lovingly you've done that with them. Me personally. Yeah. I know there's been times when like, Shanna. I'm about to kill you. But you didn't say that because I would not have received it.
Right.
You know, it's like, I'm just going to love her through this and then I'm going to kill her.
And kidding. Then I'll kill her. And then years down the road, I'll be like, do you know how closely you were to being killed?
You were.
To death. But to connect it back, like you had said, to an attribute of God is, or who we see, how we see God throughout all of this, and especially in Job. I'm going to echo what you said, and you see his sovereignty all throughout it. And the sovereignty in bringing Job these trials, like bringing these trials or allowing these trials into Job's life, but then also sustaining him through it. And it's encouraging. It's tough. I think Job is a very, very tough book to read if you find yourself in the midst of a trial like this. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very tough one. I've had friends that have said, I just don't really like reading the book of Job, mm-hmm. especially where I'm at right now.
Because you view God as unfair, I think, right. in those moments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, because, you know, we have read through the book of Job and we know kind of how it's going to resolve, right? And we know the other side of it. Just being reminded of God's sovereignty throughout all of it is really, really cool.
Yes. Well, we're going to continue. I was telling Kristen before, you know, when we're recording this, this is not going out until the 16th, I think, but it's currently the 12th. And this has been 12 days of me getting in the word, like for me. Instead of like, I'm in the word every day, but it's usually for studying, for writing or teaching or something. And so, for me to be able to get in the word just on my own has been really, really sweet. And I'm really excited to know that it's only 12 days in, like we have a whole year of this together. And so if you have not, joined us yet, it is not too late. We're about to go back to Genesis. So you can join us. And it'll be really sweet. Well, are you ready to get into our actual topic?
Yes, I am. Sorry, my dog was barking. He just woke up from a dead sleep and started barking. He's been doing that recently, so that's
okay.
Fun.
So your back door that I'm looking at,
it's closed.
Terrifying me.
It's closed.
Oh boy. Okay, so. We are kicking off our doctrine series with the doctrine of Revelation. And when you hear that, we do not mean the end times.
Yes.
We mean.
We do not mean the end times.
We do not mean the end times. We are not getting into the book of Revelation today.
No.
We are talking about the doctrine of Revelation. And when we talk about that, we really mean that everything that we know about Christianity has been revealed to us by God. So it's what's mm-hmm. been revealed. If we want to know him in truth, we must rely on what he tells us about himself, because all truth is God's truth.
Yeah. Why would we not want to rely on what he's told us about himself? Like, that's the person you want to go to. Like, how do I know about you? I go to you and talk to you about it. Right. But there's a few different ways that the Bible tells us that God has revealed himself to us, right? Mm-hmm. So we see it in nature. God reveals himself in dreams and visions, and then scripture, and then the incarnation, right? Mm-hmm. Christ was God revealed to us. Yeah. And we do distinguish these two, we do distinguish these as two different types of revelation. You'll hear a lot of people refer to them as general revelation and special revelation. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that very carefully because I want to say relevation all the time. So if I say relevation, just know I mean revelation.
I might laugh at you. So
anyways, that's fine. So we have general and special revelation.
Mm-hmm.
General is general in content, right? Mm-hmm. So it provides us with the knowledge that God exists. Scripture tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. But revelation in nature does not give a full revelation of God. It doesn't give us the information about God, the Redeemer, that we see in the Bible, mm-hmm. right? So the nature is not just the full revelation, but the God who is revealed in nature is the same God who is revealed in scripture.
Right. Not only is it general in content, but it's also general in audience. So obviously not everyone in the world has read the Bible or heard the gospel being proclaimed. So God's general revelation takes place every day though. And he is never without a witness to himself. So like when you look at the visible world, it's like a mirror that reflects the glory of its maker. So you have general revelation is general in content. It is general in audience. You think, you know, God's glory is evident all around us. You know, mm-hmm. we just said that he reveals himself through his creation. And scripture says the whole earth is full of his glory. And then which really comes down to like human beings are religious by nature. No, you know, whether you're an atheist or agnostic or whatever, everyone is searching for something. I think specifically the story that I want to tell when we're talking about nature is my father-in-law, and before he passed away, my husband's dad, which even my father-in-law, just so we're clear.
Good job.
Just to make that clear. He had cancer, and the one thing that he wanted to do before he died was to go see the Grand Canyon. Mm. And he was not a believer, but there was something about the like majesty of the Grand Canyon. And I remember when he said that, like we never got to go with him. He passed away before he was able to go. But I remember specifically as me having a conversation with John Eric, and I was like, you know, like there is something innate in everybody.
Mm.
And that is just like God's glory. Like if you've ever been in the mountains, like one of my favorite things is to go to Colorado and we may go jeeping, you know, jeeping. You like that, Texas?
Jeeping.
I just caught myself. Jeeping. Jeeping. My word.
I don't know if that sounds any better though. Jeeping.
Jeeping. We go jeeping. It's what it's called. Jeeping. Up in the mountains. And, you know, it's hard. It's hard to stand, you know, like I'm a believer. And so maybe it's easier for me, but it's hard to stand up there and to look around and to not know that that was like born by God's voice, you know, mm-hmm. like he spoke that into existence. Like, so you see, I mean, nature everywhere proclaims, the glory of God, the sunsets, you know, the beautiful flowers, like, that's God's kindness to us.
Right.
And, you know, I think, you know, like the innate knowledge of God comes to us by general revelations. Like I said, the Grand Canyon and seeing everything, like that's innate in us. Mm-hmm. And then we see like the Apostle Paul summarizes that. He summarizes the essence of God's general revelation to mankind. When he wrote in Romans, he said, what can be known about God is plain to them because God showed it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse.
Hmm.
Like that, the end of that gets me. mm-hmm. that they are without excuse. It's innate in us, you know? And so when we're talking about general revelation, we're just thinking God's kindness over all of mankind and like creation and nature and like believers and non-believers alike can see and recognize his handiwork. And the second type of revelation that you said was special revelation. And I'll let you go ahead and talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So special revelation, it has a few different things that fall under it. But one of the main ones is that God reveals himself through his word. And that is our ultimate authority. And that is how we know who God is, who is the God we love and serve. The Bible itself calls attention to its many human authors very clearly. Mm-hmm. If you study scripture, which we are a big proponent of studying scripture, we notice that each human author has a very peculiar literary style, vocabulary, emphasis, perspective. Mm-hmm. You think of the gospels, right? You have four gospels kind of covering a lot of the same things, but something that was pointed out recently is the number of miracles that Luke talks about. And we know Luke was the doctor. Mm-hmm. And so the physician. And so it's no wonder that that would call like right in his mind of just the number of miraculous things that happened. Mm-hmm. And so we see that through all of these different authors.
I love that. And I think just you saying that, I think of like Matthew, he would like, mm-hmm. he was like a Jew of all Jews, but he was like a tax collector who people hated. But mm-hmm. Matthew keeps going back to like when he's talking, he keeps referring back to the Old Testament a lot mm-hmm. because he knew it and his audience would know it.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sorry.
So we see that each human author has his own voice. Mm-hmm. So then it would bring up naturally a question that since the production of the Bible involved human effort, how can we regard it as God's word? Mm-hmm. But we believe that the Bible is the word of God because of its claim that the human writers did not just write their own opinions, but that their words were inspired by God, that they were God breathed.
You say that, you said it kind of fast. So I want to like highlight one little word: because of its claim. And yeah. by that, you mean like the Bible.
Right. The Bible.
The Bible claims.
The Bible says that.
Yeah. So we believe it because the Bible says it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
2 Timothy 3:16. Many, many people are very familiar with it. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Mm-hmm. That word inspiration is a translation from the Greek word meaning God breathed. So God breathed out the Bible. Mm. Scripture is God speaking. Mm-hmm. And although it came to us through human authors, through their pens or quills or whatever it is that they were using to write. I mean, they didn't have ballpoint pens back then. So
yeah, their quills on their quills. Scrolls.
Exactly. The ultimate source of scripture is God. Mm. That is why the prophets in the Old Testament could preface their words by saying, "Thus says the Lord." Mm. That's also why Jesus could say in John, "Your word is truth and scripture cannot be broken."
Mm. That's really good. Under the lines of special revelation, we know that God reveals himself through his word. All scripture is breathed out by God. And so we just want to touch on, okay, if scripture is God's word, what are some characteristics of the Bible? And so these are very brief and I think they speak for themselves. So mm-hmm. we're just going to go with it. The Bible is authoritative. What the Bible says, God says.
Mm-hmm.
Period. The Bible is inerrant. And by that, we mean it's incapable of being wrong. The Bible is sufficient. And I really, this one takes me down a whole rabbit trail. So the Bible is the canon. And when we talk about canon, that comes from the Greek word, which means norm or standard. So the Bible is the standard. Canon is used to describe the authoritative list of books that the church acknowledged as sacred scripture and the rule for faith and practice. So there was, when we're talking about like the canon of scripture, you hear that all the time. There was certain criteria that that would mark the canonicity.
Canonicity.
Yes.
You got it.
Canonicity. Way to go. Okay. So it was either written by or closely connected to an apostle. It was already in common usage by the early church. It had to be theologically orthodox, meaning not contradicting any other part of scripture. And it had to be discerned as bearing the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so while the church recognizes that which is canonical, it does not establish the canon. Like the church did not establish the canon. And another thing to point out, just because we're fair and we're going to say this, there's 66 books in the Bible, right? And the Protestants would accept those 66 books as canon. You have the Roman Catholics who also would accept the Apocrypha as authoritative scripture, which we do not accept that. The Apocrypha was written between the Old and New Testament. So we would say that that was the time when it was 400 years of silence, when God was not speaking to his people. And so, which you made a really interesting point of something that you were just learning at church, I guess. Do you want to share that?
Or? So yeah. At church, our kind of Sunday school class, we call it foundations class, but we are going through, we're going into the New Testament. And so kind of a New Testament overview, kind of. But this first week was focused more on what happened in history in those 400 years between the close of the Old Testament and what we hear at the beginning of the New Testament, and how God was continuing to work while he was silent. God was continuing to work in the world to bring about his ultimate purpose and his ultimate glory. One of those things being the rule of the Roman Empire. So the Romans did a lot for building roads and connecting cities and allowing that kind of travel to happen. And that ultimately, years down the road, allowed the gospel to spread quickly because those roads were already established. Was that something that the church went out and had to build and do? No, it was already done by the Roman rule. And so it was just really cool to be able to kind of walk through all of those different things and the different rules that happened and how one fell to the other and all of that different thing. But it was really, really interesting to be able to think through and see with the lens of, again, we know what's coming. And so how God was working, even though he was seemingly silent, it doesn't mean that he was taking a back seat and taking a break, that he was still continuing to work in the world.
Yeah, that's really, I love that because, you know, you know that they were thinking like, is God really coming? It's been 400 years and there's been nothing. We have no prophets. We have nothing. Is God really coming? But the entire time he was working. So that's just, I don't know. That's really encouraging. And so, there's that. And so that leads us into like, you have characteristics of the Bible and that leads us, you also have different interpretations of the Bible. And so these are just some guidelines that we find. And we're talking about special revelation, how God reveals himself to us in his word. These interpretations are helpful. So the Bible is its own interpreter, period. I feel like that's pretty self-explanatory.
Period.
The Bible is its own interpreter. We've said this before. We must interpret the Bible literally as it's written. So a noun is a noun. A verb is a verb. Poetry is to be treated as poetry. Historical accounts are to be treated as history. Parables are to be treated as parables. So on and so on. Are you laughing at me because I was not about to say that?
I am. So it says in the notes, hyperbole as hyperbole. And she was like,
nope. I was like, hyperbole.
Hyperbole. Nope.
And I wrote the notes and that's why, I'm not saying it.
That's why
and
I'm the grammar.
I laughing and I was like, I'm not even going to say it. We're a great podcast, if nothing else. So yes, there are literary genres, and that helps. That helps to read Psalms or Proverbs or whatever as wisdom literature or poetry, and not take it as like literal, you know, like it's helpful to read it as the authors wrote it. The Bible is not to be interpreted according to our own desires and prejudices. We must seek to understand what it's actually saying and guard against forcing our own views on it.
That is so hard.
It is hard because our lens and our cultural lens, especially like for me growing up in fundamentalism, like that's a huge thing, is to say like, let me take these blinders off and let me just look at like, what does the Bible say, and not like, what do I think it should say? Yeah. Bingo card. I feel like we should have a bingo merch. R.C. Sproul said, it's the sport of heretics to seek support from scripture for false doctrines that have no basis in the text. And some people like to throw the word heretics around, you know?
Yeah.
Like all the time. Like, okay.
You cheapen the word heretic. If just everyone that disagrees with you is a heretic.
Exactly. Just because we disagree, I'm not a heretic. But if you are taking, I mean, you think of Satan, he did it in the garden to Eve. Did God really say? He did it in Matthew talking to Jesus, in the temptation. Yeah. So like the ultimate twister of scripture, of scripture is Satan. And so we don't want to be accused of taking scripture and making a false doctrine out of it, you know? And I don't think we've said before, every heretic started in scripture with good intentions.
Yeah.
So I think that's really, I don't know. I feel really heavy when I'm like reading. I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, I need you to show me like what is right and wrong. And if I don't know, I need to be okay to say I don't know and live in that tension and not try to like pretend that I don't know and spin something that's not true. You know, if you don't know, you don't know. Like, that's okay. But yeah, I thought that was really helpful. And then one final thing for interpretation of the Bible is the implicit must always be interpreted in light of the explicit, not the other way around. And that was really helpful to me as I'm looking. I'm like, some things are clearly shown in scripture and some things are not. So how do I view those things that are not with the things clearly shown in scripture?
Right.
And that's just really, I think that's just really helpful interpretation tools, is the Bible is its own scripture interprets scripture. And I think that's helpful to remember.
For sure.
If we were going to summarize all of this, how would you summarize it?
How would I summarize it? If you don't hear anything else on the podcast, if you've caught none of this, this is what we want you to walk away with. And know that the ladies at Grow in Grace, this is where they stand on this.
This is it.
We believe that the Bible is authoritative and without error. It is perfectly trustworthy because we have a perfectly trustworthy God.
It goes back to his attributes.
Right. Which is why we started with them.
That's exactly right.
It is perfectly trustworthy, not just in its own, but because we have a perfectly trustworthy God that is in his attributes.
Yep. There's so many debates over versions of scripture and throwing that heretic word around and reprobate or whatever. You know, I grew up KJV only forever. So I get that. I get people coming from that, you know, mindset, that perspective. But do you believe God's trustworthy? You know, that's where I'm at. I'm like, I believe the Bible is authoritative and without error because God's trustworthy and I can trust him. And this is his word, and that it is true. Like, you know, there's a mantra that we use at church with our kids. And so if my kids were awake right now, I would have them come here and say, hey, what's the Bible? And both of them would say the Bible is God's true word. It is from God. It is about God. And it is true. That's like their mantra. Anytime I, if I ever say that, that's what they will say. And I'm like, you know, that's something my 6-year-old and 9-year-old can say. And that's so powerful. The Bible mm-hmm. is from God, about God, and it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're saying here. We're just saying it in a bigger term.
Right.
It's authoritative. It's without error and trustworthy because we serve a trustworthy God. So yeah, if we were going to sum up, Kristen, everything we just said about divine revelation, which kicks off, we started with attributes mm-hmm. and then we're like, okay, we know who God is. So how do we reveal himself? Like, how do we know those things about him? So
right.
through the doctrine of revelation. And we said that even though he's incomprehensible, God reveals himself in both creation and in scripture. So how does he reveal himself in creation?
We see him in, we see aspects of his being, attributes, power. Yeah. That's what we call general.
Yeah.
Or natural revelation. You'll also hear it called that.
Yeah. And then we also see it, what we would call special. Some people say supernatural. I like special, but you can go either way. Revelation. We see it in scripture. So he gives further revelation of his being, his names, his attributes, his works, and his will for the salvation of his people. And that is a really big deal. And the difference between the two is that special revelation centers on the person and work of Jesus Christ. Like Jesus in himself is the full revelation of God to mankind.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where it's different, is that in scripture, you get Jesus too, you know?
Yeah. It's also worth noting that all special revelation centers on the person and saving work of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Jesus himself is the full revelation of God to mankind.
Yeah. Yeah. The Holy Spirit, you know, I think we mentioned this earlier, but it's important to kind of close out with this. Like, the Holy Spirit is both a divine agent of God's special revelation and also the one that illuminates the hearts of believers to give them understanding of that revelation. So the Holy Spirit is an active agent in all this, you know, from, I love pointing out the Trinity, because the Holy Spirit was there at the beginning, hovering mm-hmm. over the waters at creation, and like the one who's doing the work of illuminating hearts and minds. I wanted to point out the Trinity as well, because that's what I do. But yeah, everything that God reveals is truth, since it's a revelation of God, of the God of truth himself. So we said at the beginning, God's revelation is a self-disclosure of himself. And like, what a gift
mm-hmm.
that we can just walk outside and like, man, like, I don't know about Ohio, but Texas, we have some beautiful sunsets. Like beautiful sunsets, and just to walk outside and my kids will see them. And I'm like, man, like how kind of is God to give that to everyone to see,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know. It makes me pause in worship. Like, I know like the Holy Spirit speaks to me a lot, also through nature and just the birds chirping, and just like, man, what a kindness. Like he didn't have to do any of that.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to do any of that. And he did. Because he's good and kind. And so, yeah, it's the doctrine of revelation.
The doctrine of revelation. The last thing that I wanted to point out that just kind of, as we were discussing this, reminded me that how great it is that we serve a God and we love a God that does reveal himself to us. I think if you think of a lot of different religions, especially if you think of like some of the ancient religions that you see in the Bible, their gods were mysterious, or even like you think of like all kinds of different gods throughout the ages that they talk about, their gods are mysterious and they don't know what is going to please him. And they are always kind of working towards like, oh, I don't know if I do this, it might not, like, but how great and how thankful I am that we serve a God that does tell us who he is. And reveals himself to us. And it's not a guessing game.
Yeah. And that kind of takes us back to like us studying Job right now
mm-hmm.
and how Job made a comment that like God was a friend to his household. And I'm like, how cool is it that God reveals himself? He's almighty and he created the world and he is like transcendent and above all, but he's also imminent and like close to us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it doesn't matter how many times I read or think of that, I get chills because I'm like, man, like, what a good, kind God, man.
Yeah.
And I think that's our heart behind growing grace, is that we want to continue to grow in that. And we want to invite people into these different doctrines. And there's going to be some doctrines that we cover where I'm just like, we're just going to rest in this tension that,
yeah,
we're starting with the revelation, doctrine of revelation, for a reason, because if we believe that the Bible's true, because God is trustworthy, then what the Bible says, even if we don't understand it, we know that it's going to be true.
And we do recognize that as we go through each of these doctrines, in the same way that when we did the attribute study, like, it is not comprehensive. We could not do it comprehensively in one episode. Nope. So know that if we didn't hit something that you're like, oh, I'm surprised, or anything like that, one, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to comment on anything, comment on any of our social media, send us a message through our website. But also, if you want to learn more and you think, wow, this was like, this was just scratching the surface, I want more. Mm-hmm. There's resources out there to be able to study it.
Yes. And we would love
to do it.
We would love to point you in those directions too, because one thing Kristen and I talked about before recording is like, you know, I'm walking this line of, I want to stir people's affections for these deep topics and point you in directions to go study more. I don't want to confuse you. You know? Mm-hmm. And so there's this line where I'm like, how much is confusing? And so if this is like really interesting to you and you want to research it more, please reach out to us. And I would love to give you book recommendations and things that you can research that for. But I'm really excited for this series, man.
Yeah, it's going to be really great.
Both for, I mean, for hopefully for the listeners, but for me too.
Just for us. Again, for me, even if it's just for us.
I love being reminded.
We love it.
Hey, this was great.
Well, friend, it was wonderful.
Yeah,
it was wonderful to see your face.
You too. I just saw it last week, but it feels like forever.
I know, it feels like forever. But otherwise, until next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.